The 527th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And we're also brought to you by SGPN's subscriber-only March Madness Bankroll Challenge. Free to enter and up to $2,000 in prizes. Enter today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Heidi Ho DeGenerinos, welcome to episode 527 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This episode is going out to my father-in-law, whose birthday is today. Lots of birthdays this time of year. So happy birthday to you and happy birthday to everyone who is listening. I'm sure someone else's birthday is today that's listening among our millions and millions of listeners. I'm one of your hosts of this here podcast. My name is Jeff Chalks Fox, and we've got the UFC to cover this week. An amazing fight card. I'm sure the prelims are going to be super amazing, which is what we're going to cover today. We got a good main event on tomorrow's episode. Prelims, I'm sure my co-host will put a nice spin on it, but we do like the lines here. Well, we did mention this a few episodes ago, maybe even last episode, that may not be on paper a fight card stacked with star power. It definitely isn't. Take the May out of there. It definitely is not an event stacked with star power, but we like weird little unknown fighters around these parts, and we like nice lines. So hopefully we'll get into some in this episode. So let's bring in that co-host. He didn't interrupt me today for the first time, and I think he did three in a row where he didn't let me introduce him. Now he wants a proper introduction because he has a new hat that he's going to let us all know about. Mostly one viewer only cares, and his name is Jong. But his name of this the co-host's name is not Jong.
More people like my hats.
It's true. John would be a good co-host, but the co-host the person I'm speaking of is Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello. What's on your hat? It's a mug.
Yeah, more people like my hats, first of all, not just John.
Okay. So well, John is very excited. He's excited about most things in life, but he's very excited about your hat as well. He's one of the most enthusiastic people you'll ever encounter. Okay. So what's on your hat?
The Somerset Patriots, which is a minor double-A Yankees, if I'm not mistaken, are doing a are you a big Yankee hater? Okay, I guess you're a Blue Jays fan. That makes sense.
Everyone hates the Yankees, don't they?
I don't really give a crap either way.
You're a National League guy.
Yeah, I grew up halfway in between Red Sox and Yankees fans.
Yeah.
And they like butt heads, and I'm like, you guys both suck. Yeah. And now they actually both suck, which is nice.
Yes,
but they are doing a themed night, which is honoring the Diners of New Jersey. So this is the is the New Jersey Diners.
Man, they're stretching anything to sell a hat.
That's
right?
A sick hat, right? Like it good colors. Nice. He's got the little bow tie and the hat on. Yeah, it's a good look.
Make sure you all are subscribing to the YouTube. A couple reasons so you can see Gumby's hat. Plus, we someday want to monetize it because Gumby needs money to buy these hats, right? So it's basically you're just investing in the show and the wardrobe. So I have a Phoenix Suns hat on. I don't have much faith in them. And a Phoenix Suns shirt, as a matter of fact. I don't have much faith in them this year, but that's the hat I'm wearing today. You want to put a spin on the fight card, or you're going to be like,
there's a lot of fun people showing up for the first time or the second time that I'm like, oh, I was kind of wondering if they were worth it. And now I'm going to maybe find out.
Yeah. But nice. If you're not a hardcore, this probably isn't the event for you. But if you're listening to this episode, you probably are a hardcore. So
or right? Big D Gen.
One or, of the both. Both. More than likely both. We get them all around these parts. So we're doing the prelims today, as I said. How many fights we got? 4, 7? Is that sound right to you? 7 today, 6 tomorrow. Is that right?
Yep, that sounds right.
All right. 13 fight card. Before we jump into it, thinking of any news, Jose Aldo's coming back. I heard you on your other podcast. You're nonplussed about it.
Yeah, it's
we don't
he should probably just stay, he should stay retired, maybe.
There's reason you retired to begin with. And yeah, as you were saying on the Top Turtle MMA podcast, like, he's old and he's at a low weight class. He's still bantamweight, right?
For this fight? I think
against Jonathan Martinez.
Jonathan Martinez does fight at bantamweight. He's fought at featherweight before too. I think this is probably bantamweight, which again, I mean, it's maybe worse if it's bantamweight, right?
Like, yeah, no, it definitely is. Definitely is. Yes, bantamweight it is. Correct.
Damn, that's terrible.
UFC 301, May the 4th. Somehow, yeah, we, when he announced he was going to bantamweight, we were very skeptical about that, right? We thought, well, we always thought the weight class move would be lightweight for him moving up. Yeah. But he cut down and it worked. Like, he didn't look any worse for wear. He cut down when he was 33 years old and he didn't seem to have any trouble. So.
Yeah, he did. He is at least getting a matchup that's like the kind of matchup he wants, right? Like, they're not putting him in there with somebody who's going to wrestle him to death, right? Like, he's not in there with like the Mario Batistas of the world or something like that. And not to say that like Jonathan Martinez couldn't be Mario Batista, but also, like, you know, Jonathan Martinez wants to strike with you, and he's certainly going to want to like show that he can outstrike Jose Aldo. So yeah, that they at least gave him something that makes sense stylistically for where he is in his career. Maybe not.
Yeah, he's 37 years old, 38 in September. So we shall see. He's surprised us before with his performance at bantamweight. We shall see. And the other thing, UFC settled their antitrust lawsuit with the fighters earlier today. $335 million is what they settled on. I'm not sure how many fighters are involved in that and stuff. I have to listen.
1,200 plus, a little over 1,200.
Yeah, so everyone will have to listen to Hey, Not the Face podcast, which is... Mm-hmm. John Nash, formerly of Bloody Elbow before, as the British would say, went tits up. Now he's got his own thing. So, yeah, you haven't heard that expression before?
I haven't.
I guess that's, yeah. I think like when you're dead, things go tits up. Like, you, sure. I don't know. Sure. But anyhow, it's a British thing. So, yeah, listen to his, I haven't listened to his podcast yet, but he is the guy, basically the only guy who's been covering this lawsuit. So, so that is that. I guess good news. Probably would have been bad news for us if the UFC had gone to court and lost. It probably would have, like, they would have passed along the losses to the consumer. Pay-per-view prices would have gone up. We probably would have got a worse product. So hopefully everyone's happy in this situation. But
yeah, I don't know any of the details other than the monetary thing. It doesn't look like much has come out yet, because, you know, I know obviously the fighters were fighting for you know, structural changes too, and feels almost like they settled without getting those. That's going to be my guess here. But they, you know, if you're talking to like 1,200 people and, you know, $300 million, what are we talking about? Like, you know,
do the math, Gumby.
Quarter of a million a person.
That's not bad. That's not bad for a fighter.
Am I saying that right?
Are you a math? Do you have a math degree?
I do have a math degree.
I thought you did. Yeah. I have only have economics, which I guess is kind of close. I'm going to use the old calculator on my phone. 335 million divided by 1,200.
Quarter of a million?
Yeah. A little more. Yeah.
Heck, but I'm sure
after taxes and stuff, though. Yeah.
Good. Right off the top, right there.
Was it current? Were the current fighters involved, or do you know off the top of your head?
I think they had to have been fighting during a certain time period. So, like, I think, you know, if there are still people who are fighting, like, probably Clay Guida is part of that.
Yeah. I was going to say, are we going to see a whole bunch of people get cut mysteriously now because the took the UFC to court, but hopefully not. I guess not. I don't know if anyone on this, I guess probably no one on this card is involved in it, because mostly, at least the prelims, we got mostly newbies on this here prelim card. Is there a fighter that excites you the most on the prelims of the 14 fighters on the prelims? Here's the
first one, but there's one, but I think you might pick against them. So I'm going to,
okay. So you're going to, oh, I gotcha. Okay. All right. Let's give you the deets on this here card. It is UFC Fight Night, Hibas versus Nama Yunus. And guess what? It's at the UFC Apex. So actually it's, I was going to say, so we get one good fight, but a lot of times we don't even get one good fight on paper. So in this case, we get one good fight. We get a former champion, Rose Namajunas, and we get a fan favorite, always in exciting fights, fighter and Amanda Hibas. But as the very wise Gumby has said before, you can a lot of times judge fight cards by the co-main event, or at least fight night cards by the co-main event. And we got Carl Williams and Justin Taffa in the co-main event. A short notice, Justin Taffa too.
I love it.
Yeah. So he wasn't making 265 when he had full camp. How is he going to do on a part of a camp? We'll have to see. Maybe he's had less time to eat, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, he was sick a little while ago, too. Remember, he had to pull out of
that. That'll help lose weight.
And maybe he dropped a couple LBs.
Maybe. So that is that's tomorrow, though. Sorry to I know everyone's itching to hear about those fights. But that is tomorrow. Today, we're going to cover, as I said, the 7 prelim fights. It's going down Saturday, as per usual, 7 p.m. Eastern time, which is kind of good since the 2 fight cards we've already done this week. Yes. If you only listen to the UFC events, you've missed out. Monday we did LFA, Tuesday we did Octagon, and they are going down on Saturday as well. Octagon is noon Eastern, LFA was 4, I believe. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, that sounds
right. Off the top of your head? Yeah. So you can basically, we'll have some overlap, but not a heck of a lot. So that'll be fun. We can watch a whole bunch of fights all day long, as the Degens in our Discord tend to do anyway. So prelims are on ESPN Plus, and that is what we're covering today. 7 p.m. UFC Apex, as I said, 13 fights, 7 we're going to cover today. But once again, I'm teasing you because I'm going to tell you about some of our friends that are keeping us in your eyes and ears first. We're sponsored by Merch Madness. 15% off everything in our store, the merch store. That would be sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Use the code MADNESS because 'tis the season to be mad. And you get cool gear. You can't get the Phoenix Sun stuff I'm wearing. Gumby, you can't get, and currently we don't have any hats with diner themed hats, but that could be something we could look into getting. We do have lots of MMA gambling podcast theme stuff. If that is your thing, which it should be, if you're listening to us, we got, you know, mantles, shirts, which I wore yesterday. I also wore SGPN jogging pants yesterday. That was very cool. Actually, I wore it today to the gym. So we're going to get a whole bunch of people from my gym listen to us now for sure. So anyway, we got lots of good merch. Get in there, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store madness is the code. I saw a guy with a Fred Sanford shirt on at the gym today. What do you think of that? Do you know who that is, Gumby?
Yeah, Sanford and Son. Yeah, I know.
Yes, pretty, you big dummy, it said on the shirt. I'm like, that guy's shirt's pretty cool. Anyhow, what else can I tell you about? You're sponsored by us even more. SGPN is subscriber-only March Madness contest. They can still enter it, right? What day is today? Wednesday. Yes, you can enter it. It's open in until I guess what, noon tomorrow approximately is when tip-offs usually are. This contest is free to enter and only open to subscribers of SGPN shows. For every SGPN show you're subscribed to, you'll get bonus credits to use in the contest. It's a bankroll style contest and winner take all for a $1,000 prize or $2,000 if you're subscribed to a Sports Gambling Podcast Patreon. So make sure you get in on that. You can double your money there. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness to enter this contest. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. And as for other friends, Cut. We are brought to you by Cut. They're a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun as social features to give it feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable. I'm always adding an extra M there. Odds to create you can create your own bets. Boom. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Get on there. Check out the cool SGPN themed bets we have on there. Hopefully we get some MMA gambling ones up there very soon as well. Download Cut today in the App Store or over on cut.com. That's K-U-T-T, K-U-T-T.com. And use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. And of course, we're still brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Pick between 2 and 5 players, basically any sport. They've got every sport on there, pretty much every stat for every sport as well. And then you pick higher or lower on a stat for the player you chose. You can, like I said, do between 2 and 5 players. If you hit it at the max, you can win 100 times your money in a single night. Sign up today with promo code MMASGPN and get your first deposit, double it up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or you find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code MMASGPN to get your first deposit, double it up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org with the www's before that. All right, Vlad Adreid's gonna take a drink out of my Star Wars cup. Okay, So there's a fighter here that you really like, but you think I don't like, or at the very least I'm going to pick against them. Interesting. On the prelims.
I realize now it might be in a fight where I have to pick first, so it might not matter at the end
of
the day.
Still, I doubt I'll change my picks more. I'll tell you if I do. I will tell you if I do. We're going to start things off. Actually, let me tell you about the fights we lost. Stephanie Luciano versus Shauna Bannon. Bannon withdrew. Too bad. I would have faded Bannon, I'm sure. Davey Grant, Cody Gibson, Grant withdrew. Muhammad Usman, Chris Barnett. Sadly, Barnett withdrew. We were so excited about that in the Discord when that got announced. Are we ever going to see Chris Barnett again, Huggy Boy?
I don't know. He's got a lot of stuff going on in his life. Yeah. Like he had some real personal tragedy kind of stuff come out.
He's a widowed dad now. So yeah, that's got to take priority, I'm sure. So yeah, not good. I would love to see him back though. He's a fun guy. Billy Quarantillo, Gabriel Miranda. Miranda withdrew. Edmund Shabazian. Dusko Todorovic. Todorovic backed out. Junior Toffa, Carl Williams. Toffa withdrew, but Toffa also entered the fight. And then perhaps, I'm not making fun of this disease by any means, but perhaps the greatest pullout of all time. Julia Pilastri was supposed to fight Stephanie Luciano,
Dengue
but Luciano,
fever.
Dengue fever.
I saw that in the headline and I was like, what?
I'm sure it's not something you want to get, but I'm like, wow, dengue fever. That's maybe someone's going to pull out with Ebola next. It's interesting. That's a unique one, isn't it?
It doesn't feel like it's something that you get in 2024, but I mean, what do I know?
But hey, what do we know nowadays? All right. So after all of that, here's what we are left with. Heavyweights to start things off. At least we don't have heavyweights to end things for a change. Muhammad Usman from
Nigeria.
Nigeria. Not even close. Cameroon is not even close to Nigeria. I think their flag might be similar. Versus Mick Parkin from England. 3 5-minute rounds at heavyweight. Muhammad Usman has the greatest nickname, Gumby, because it so doesn't fit him. You know his nickname off
the motor.
The motor. How is that his nickname? Because Mo and motor? Is that
what? I think that's got to be it. He is
not fast. He doesn't throw anything.
He's like
no motor.
Do you remember? Do you watched all the Ultimate Fighters, obviously, and remember everybody on them because you?
Yeah,
you
of course, them. All of them.
But the Ultimate Fighter 10 had a heavyweight named Marcus Jones.
I do remember him.
Marcus the Darkness Jones.
Yeah, he was in the NFL, I think, right?
Yeah. He played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Usman is just new age Marcus Jones.
Yeah. Doesn't throw. Yeah. Motor. Motor is the total opposite of what he is. But anyhow, let's tell you about his sparkling records. Actually, not that bad. He's 10-2, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been submitted one time. 3-0 in the UFC. It's part of a 3-fight winning streak. He has not lost since May of 2021. 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter, and he won his season. 0-1 in PFL. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 1.04 strikes per minute. There's that motor for you. I think he lands like 2 strikes a minute and he gets hit more than that. So yeah, that's a motor for you. Plus 125. Mick Parkin, no nickname needed. 8-0, 5 knockouts, 1 submission. He's 2-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in Contender Series, regional champion. 1-0 as a pro kickboxer. Based on their last weigh-ins, he was 26 pounds heavier than Usman, which is like Usman's a big guy. Somehow Parkin's outweighed him. 2 inches taller than Usman, 6 years younger, better striking stats, more active landing strikes. Somehow he outstrikes the motor. Better grappling stats than Usman, and he's outstruck his UFC and Contender Series opponents by 0.4 strikes per minute, minus 145. What a dandy this is, Gumby. Go ahead. And technically, Parkin is taking this kind of on short notice, but it's more than a month, so I didn't include it as short notice. Go ahead.
I'm going to pick Usman.
Really?
I mean, I don't feel great about it because I think both of these guys are not stellar at fighting. But like, you know, every single time Mick Parkin's fought, for the most part, I faded him because it just like he seems like he's got issues. Lots of issues, and not that Usman doesn't have his own issues. Dude's got issues. It's not that like Usman doesn't have his own problems and his own things that he like kind of isn't great at, but like he does hit really hard, right? Like that's the probably the biggest takeaway. And he's got enough wrestling that he could just lay on you. And I don't know that Mick Parkin does any of those things better. And Usman, while he's not out there submitting tons of people, like he does have pretty basic, like decent top jiu-jitsu when he's on top. Like I think I don't know that it would work all the time, or it's going to work when he faces top 15 guys, but I think it works enough against Mick Parkin. I think he holds Mick Parkin down for a full round and at least wins one of them that way. So yeah, give me the dog money here on Usman out the gate.
Yeah, I was leaning Parkin, but I don't know why, really, when it comes right down to it.
Because neither of them are particularly all.
Yeah, good. Neither of them are good. So why not get some plus money, or at least take a stab at us? So yeah, I'll go Usman as well. I think I was picking against him just because he's so horrible, but
because it's a joke, because it's like a meme to pick against him.
Yeah,
but like Mick, think about Mick Parkin's fight with Cal Machado, right? And Cal Machado, you know, like somehow got a UFC contract despite having like one of the most boring contender series fights of all time. And you can blame the fact that Kevin Soflarski broke his arm in the first couple of minutes. But then Kyle Machado had the most boring fight in the world with Mick Parkin, and Mick Parkin never stepped on the gas and almost lost that fight anyway. And like, say what you will about Muhammad Usman's motor, it's enough to like step up on what Cal Machado was outputting on Mick Parkin and to work for 15 minutes. So, yeah.
I think we just spent 5 minutes talking about his motor already. You're right. So,
yeah.
Too late to say nothing of his motor.
Yeah. Say nothing of his motor after we just did for 10 minutes.
Yeah. He probably doesn't need a motor. Like he's going to be the harder hitter here.
And I think he's going to be doing the things that take less out of him.
I was going to say, you would assume he has a better gas tank as well. Even though muscles do make you tired, but so does being 25 pounds overweight or whatever Parkin probably is. Right. So, all right, let's go.
Who isn't 25 pounds overweight?
It's true. I am. Yeah, I'm about exactly that. Exactly.
Me
too. All right. No, you're not. You bragged about how much weight you lost. Did it all come back?
That doesn't mean. Yeah. Yeah. I just go up and down if I can.
Oh,
yeah.
Yo-yo. Fine. Yo-yoing is fun. All right. I'm going to talk about game time before I blow past that. This is an exciting episode. We're really ripping through the fights, aren't we? Game time is the spot. This is exciting. Game time spot where you can get last minute tickets for the cheapest price, because they are the place for last minute ticket deals. And they're the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You get images of your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. You buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps and you're set. And tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. I'm sure all that sounds good. It sounds good to me. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download Game Time app, create an account, and use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And I think that's all I have for this block. Yes. All right. So it's every fight I pick first that I have to be wary that there could be a hidden gem that I'm overlooking possibly.
I think well, I'm picking first on the one. I just counted them out. I'm going to tip my hand anyway.
Like what do you know about me anyway? Maybe I surprised you. Who's to say? I did beat you last week by one fight, so you never know. Things could be changing. All right, we're talking about flyweights. Go from the big guys to the little guys. This will be quite the change here. Igor Severino from Brazil versus Andre Lima from Brazil as well. One of these guys goes by a different name, right? Igor da Silva, I believe. Is that right?
He did on the Ultimate Fighter or on Contender Series. I don't know if he's going to keep doing that. Severino's been everywhere this week.
Okay, so Severino, we shall go with. He's 8-0, four knockouts, four submissions. So that's impressive. Flyweight that finishes everyone. This is his UFC debut. 1-0 in Contender Series, regional champion, 2 inches of reach on Lima, 4 years younger, almost 2.5 times more active. This is all based off of one fight for each guy. In that fight, Severino outstruck his opponent by 4.99 strikes per minute. He's at plus 150. Lima, Mascote is the nickname, which means.
I don't remember that one.
Mascot.
Oh, sure.
It's almost a gimme.
That makes sense.
I don't know what he's mascot for. Hopefully winning fights if we're picking him. He's 7-0 with 5 knockouts. This is his debut in the UFC. 1-0 in Contender Series. Used to fight at bantamweight. Better striking stats than Severino. He outstruck his opponent on Contender Series by 2.4 strikes per minute. So not quite as impressive as Severino. Minus 175. Watch some film, Gumby. Let me tell you.
Look at this guy out here.
Just remind me of people. I like Lehman here. I like his speed. I like his power. I like his striking. I like his resume better than Severino. So I'm taking the mascot.
Yeah, I'm going to take Lima too. I think you're right on that assessment. The speed and the striking is a little bit sharper. I will say this fight pretty much for me comes down to if you do like Igor Severino out here, I think you just have to put stock in the idea that he's a shoot-the-box guy with tons of forward pressure and is definitely going to be a little sloppier, but you have to assume he can get Andre Lima to fight that sloppy fight. I don't necessarily think he can, because if you watch Lima against, who did he fight? Hickson Zadim?
If you say so.
Contenders, I think he fought Hicks and Zadim. And Zadim just like overextended once or twice in that fight. And every single time he did, leaned out of range and stung him twice. And just like looked really nice doing it. So like, I think Lima is the right kind of guy to fight somebody who is going to kind of sloppily come forth with pressure like Severino tends to do. Severino's obviously got the big knockout power. We saw it on Contender Series, and you just rattled off the stats. I don't think he catches Lima. I don't think he gets close enough to him. So yeah, I like Lima here too.
So we got sloppy heavyweights followed up by sloppy flyweights is what you're telling us.
A sloppy flyweight.
Yeah. But all it takes is one to make a fight sloppy. All right. We're going up a weight class, and we're switching genders. We're going women's bantamweights. Montserrat Rendon, not the Gumby Montserrat. This one is from Mexico. I guess they both are. This one's from Mexico as well. Daria Zeliznyakova from Russia, not surprisingly. Like I said, 3 5-minute rounds. Bantamweight. We'll tell you about Rendon first. Monster is the nickname. 6-0, no finishes. 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in Invicta, 1-1 as a pro grappler. She also finishes. I forgot to say that. Plus 180. Zeliznyakova. I figure if I take a deep breath first, I can say it properly. Not bad. 8-1 with 5 knockouts. She's been knocked out once. This is her UFC debut. This is a rare signing. Straight. Like they signed her straight. No Contender Series, no Ultimate Fighter. They just signed her. She won her last fight via TKO. Lost the fight before that, was regional champion, 7 years younger than Rendon, an inch taller, minus 200. So a lot of respect given to the newcomer.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Yeah. And this is the one I'm excited about. Zeliznyakova is a really exciting prospect for me.
I'm picking her too. Yeah, I watched film, Gumby.
Nice. Did you watch her film on her last win, or did you watch the one where she fought Melissa Mullins?
I watched a couple. I watched one where she's fighting a really short, kind of heavier girl.
Nope, that's not
totally,
Melissa
Mullins. Totally outclassed. And like,
so Melissa Mullins used to be known as Melissa Dixon. So in the UFC, Melissa Dixon.
Okay, yeah.
Now ranked bantamweight, I think. Like she's ranked 15th or something like that in the division. Her only loss is Melissa, Mullins, knee, Dixon, knee, Mullins, because she was Mullins before she was Dixon, and now she's back to Mullins again. That was her only loss. And I have a lot of respect for Melissa Mullins. I think she's really tough. I think she's really, a heck of a well-rounded prospect and is going to probably make waves in the UFC. And Zeliznyakova just absolutely pieced her up on the feet for like the first 3.5 minutes of that fight. Eventually she she almost got tired of punching Mullins in the face and then got taken down and ground and pounded out with like 1 second left in that first round. So like Zeliznyakova, like that's kind of an ugly loss, but at the same time, man, the way she puts combinations together and the way she turns pressure on is just really special. And when you look at what Rendon looked like against Tamiris Vidal in her last fight, it was ugly. That fight with Tamiris Vidal made me feel like neither of them were all that good. And I was high on Tamiris Vidal before. I'm pretty sure she was even my lock in that fight. But that fight was so boring and so, like, I don't know, lackluster that I'm pretty much off of both of those two. So to see somebody like Zeliznyakova, who I know can put good combinations together here in a division that badly needs some fresh blood in it, like, to me, that's really exciting. So yeah, give me Zeliznyakova here with an exclamation point.
Yeah, I am taking her as well. The age gap is a massive thing. Plus, she's got the power on the feet. Obviously, he's going to be a way better striker than Rendon. Like Gumby said, Rendon didn't do much to really turn her heads in her debut in the UFC. So, plus, I figure if the UFC is signing this person, like I said, straight, like cold off the street, they must see something in her, right?
She must. Yeah, they know what they're getting.
Yeah, because she's skipping all the other steps. Plus, her Tapology picture is like a glamour pick kind of, which is funny.
Is it as good as Mr. Finland's?
No. it's just a thumbnail. Okay. Andre Lima's pretty good too, because he's wearing like a fun hat. But anyhow, we don't need to talk about it anymore. We already talked enough about hats on this episode, I think. Let's move up over to the men's side, up another weight class. We're going to flyweights. Steven Wynn versus Jarno Arens, USA versus Netherlands. I wanted to say he's Mr. Finland, but no, Netherlands. All right. Tell you about that gentleman first. Arens, 13-5-1, 3 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been submitted once. So he's very, this will be fight, 20? So he's very durable. 0-2 in the UFC. That's part of a 2-fight losing streak. And he's only won one of his last 4. He's fed at 155, was a regional champion. He's a year younger than Wynn. He's been outstrucking the UFC by 1.26 strikes per minute, plus 158. Win the Ninja, 9-1. You shouldn't announce you're a ninja. You should just sneak around. 9-1, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. This is his UFC debut. 2-1 in the Contender Series. Why did it take him 3 shots, Gumby?
Well, so first of all, in the first one, he was beaten up on Alon Cruz. Do you remember Alon Cruz, real lanky featherweight? Yeah. And then Alon Cruz, with like 24 seconds left, threw a flying knee and knocked him out. He followed that up by fighting a guy named Theo Ryalang.
Sure.
Does that sound like a person you've heard of? But anyway, but it was like a boring grind him out decision. Like, he didn't want to lose on Contender Series again. So he like played it super safe. He didn't give him a contract, took a year off, wound up fighting AJ Cunningham, who made his UFC debut before Stephen Wynn, weirdly. And he knocked out Stephen Cunningham, and that was his final ticket to the UFC.
All right, there you go. I wasn't even done his resume. He's got lots more here. 3 straight wins, 2 straight via TKO. He's not lost since July of 2019. Was regional champion. Better striking stats than Aaron's. 5 times more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his Contender Series opponents. There's a lot of them, by 0.8 strikes per minute. He's at minus 165. Give me win for the win here. Not just because I wanted to say that, but far more dangerous fighter. Aaron's has not showed us that he can... He can win on this level, and I think Wynn, speaking of Wynn, Wynn is a better fighter here. So give me Stephen Wynn for the win. Are you thinking of the win?
I like Stephen Wynn a lot here, too. I think the biggest piece for me in this fight is going to be his ability to put pace and pressure on Aaron's. So Aaron's is a good kickboxer. Like, that's what I'll give him. It's like, if you fight him at range and let him kickbox and, you know, throw kicks to the body and whatever he needs to do, he's dangerous and he's tough. And I know it hasn't looked that way in the UFC, but that's just because people know that that's like his thing and don't let him do that. And as I mentioned before, Stephen Wynn, with his second fight on Contender Series, Theo, I want to say this, Ryalang. But Theo,
you really want to say that, don't you?
I really hope I'm getting this. Put the intern on it.
Look it up. Go ahead. I mean, the intern will.
In that fight, he played it really safe and brought his wrestling game to it. And he's a Fortis MMA guy, which we give a little bit of credit to the wrestling side of their things. And I think the pace and the pressure and the way that he works up against the cage and the clinch and stuff like that, I think it tires Aaron's out. So I like Stephen Wynn here. He's also got big knockout power. Props to him for knocking out AJ Cunningham in that fight. And I know Aaron's is notoriously tough and hasn't been knocked out, but there's some pretty nice odds out there on Stephen Wynn by knockout, I will just say, and don't feel, you know, I don't know if it's going to make it into my plays for tomorrow, but I do have it written down, plus 575 for him by knockout. And he's won over half his fights that way. Just saying.
Jono Aarons has been stopped once, right? Via submission.
Yeah. Just submission. Though. So yeah.
And Wynn was not able to stop Theo Ryalang though.
It was Ryalang. Yes.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Fantastic.
That's what Gumby's head is full of, these weird things like that. Names like Theo Ryalang. All right. Yeah. We're taking Wynn. We are agreeing on everything so far. So there you go. Take that, Gumby. You thought I was going to disagree. All right. This is going down now to bantamweight. Miles Johns, USA. Cody Gibson, USA. We'll tell you about Cody, the Renegade Gibson first. 19-9, 7 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been submitted 4 times. 1-4 in the UFC over 2 stints. 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter. Loss, win, loss over his last 3. 4-2 over his last 6, which sounds better. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get that shirt. SportsGamblePodcast.com/store. Madness is your code for a discount. What else can I tell you? He fought down at flyweight, up at featherweight. 2008 pro MMA debut. 3 inches height, 5 inches reach over Johns, so he's going to be quite bigger. He's more active landing strikes than Johns. He's got better grappling stats than Johns. He's barely outstruck his UFC opponents. He's at plus 0.02 is the strike differential. He's at plus 125 on the betting boards. Chapo Johns, 13-2 with 1 no contest, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. He's taking this on short notice. 4-2 with 1 no contest in the UFC. His no contest came from his last fight, which was a win, but he got popped for a drug test. That's his second failed drug test. He failed one for this one was, I think, some sort of steroid type drug before it was for Ritalin, I believe. He's not officially lost a fight since February 2022. 1-0 Contender Series, LFA champion in the former life. He was fed at featherweight, 2014 pro MMA debut, 7 years younger than Gibson, better striking stats. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.76 strikes per minute. He's a minus 142. I would have guessed that John's lost more than two fights. It just kind of seems that way, but no.
It's been because he doesn't even look good when he wins most of the time.
Yeah, maybe. Like, or maybe he hasn't lived up to the potential perhaps we were hoping.
For sure.
You know, just like his ability, athletic ability, he's well coached, all that stuff. Take this as a short notice, but I'm still taking him regardless. He's better than Cody Gibson. He's way younger than Cody Gibson. He's more dangerous than Cody Gibson. Hopefully he can fight without being on. Well, I guess now that USADA is gone, then who cares, right? USADA is gone. So maybe he gets allowed to do all the stuff he was doing in the past. But regardless, I'm counting on him. Regardless of short notice, I think he's going to outclass Cody Gibson. So Johns is my pick.
I'm going to go with Cody Gibson. So the short notice thing, you know, you ride that number way more than I do. But I'm going to say this. I'm worried about it in this fight because Miles Johns notoriously, I don't know that his cardio holds up all that well. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you look back at some of the fights where the guy he was fighting could at least stuff the wrestling that he was bringing. You know, is it Brett Johns who beat? Nope, no, that wasn't Brett. Was it Brett Johns who beat him? Now I'm going to make you look another thing up.
Theo Rylang, I think, beat him.
It was not Theo Rylang. This is the Theo Rylang episode.
He lost to John Castaneda, Mario Bautista.
Oh, it might be the Mario Bautista fight I'm thinking of. Think about both of those guys. Both those guys can stuff his wrestling, right? Mario Bautista, great wrestler. John Castaneda, he's Greg Nelson trained. Like, of course he's a good wrestler. I think Cody Gibson, being as big as he is and as good as he looks stuffing takedowns from Brad Katona in his last fight, I think he can stuff the takedowns of Miles Johns. And if this fight takes place on the feet, especially if Miles Johns starts getting tired from not getting any of those takedowns, that size of Cody Gibson is really going to play because he can crack a little bit on the feet. He's crazy durable. So I don't know that Miles Johns is going to hit him with that like one big hit that he's knocked some plenty of people out with. So I think we see Cody Gibson build as sort of the fight goes. I'd also be interested in Cody Gibson plus 3.5 lines that are probably existing out there. Like he'll probably steal one round. So if you can find something about those that look halfway decent, that would be a decent way to play this too. But I even just like the money line.
All right, there you go. All right, before we move on and finish up the prelims, I'm going to tell you about Champs. Champs is hosting a free March Madness bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Plus, if you host your own March Madness pool on Champs, you'll get an extra free entry into the bracket contest. Tiebreakers are determined by who enters first. So make sure to register now so you don't miss out. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs, C-H-A-M-P-S. And Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bet's revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, where are we moving on to now? Walt Harris has got a 4-year suspension, Gumby. News just came down. Wow, that's a big suspension.
So they are testing for stuff.
that was from 48 months for two separate violations. Wowzers. That's a lot. That was back when USADA was still in control. So who knows? But yeah, it's a long time since he's old to begin with. Anyhow, this is not a Walt Harris episode.
No, it's a Theo Rylang.
Theo Rylang episode. All right. We're moving a lot of lighter weight classes in the prelims, which is one positive. We're going up to featherweight now. Ricardo Ramos from Brazil. Julian Arosa, United States of America. Arosa, we'll tell you about first. Juicy J, 28-11. 11 knockouts, 12 submissions. He's been knocked out 7 times. 6-7 in the UFC over 2 stints. He's lost 2 straight. Before that, he won 3 straight. Both of his most recent losses have come via TKO. He's fight at lightweight, 3-0 in the Ultimate Fighter. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, and get in while you can with the code MADNESS to get your discount. 2010 Pro MMA debut, 4 inches height, 2 inches of reach over Ramos. Twice more active landing strikes than Ramos. However, he's been outstruck by his opponents in the UFC by 0.13 strikes per minute, plus 132. Hummus, nickname Karasinha. Remember what that means, Gumby?
I don't.
Little face.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't remember him having a particularly little face, but if they say so, he's 16-5, 4 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. 7-4 in the UFC. Loss. He got submitted in his last fight. Used to fight down at bantamweight. Was regional champion 2012 pro MMA debut. 6 years younger than Rosa. Better grappling stats. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.57 strikes per minute, minus 150. It's you.
I'm going to go with Ramos. I think in this fight, you know, like I've been a big fan of Julian Arosa in the past, but it kind of comes down to him whether or not he's going to land big and draw you into a war. And even if he draws Ricardo Hamos into a war, like, I don't know that he wins that, right? Because Hamos is like, when he gets into those clinches and he becomes like an agent of chaos, like those spinning elbows, first of all, land. I'm pretty sure before he landed that second spinning elbow knockout, I said, well, lightning ain't going to strike twice. And then I picked against him and look, he hit another spinning elbow. He's great in close quarters. He also mixes in the wrestling kind of nicely, right? Like he gets in on people's legs particularly well and does a pretty good job of staying on top. I don't know that Arosa is going to stop that kind of game. You know, the fact that he can mix it up is faster and is definitely better up in close range. I think he avoids the big stuff here from Arosa, and I'm going to pick him to win here.
I am as well. So ditto everything Gumby said there. I think he's got more left in the tank at this point. 2-6 years is a pretty big age gap as well for a lighter weight class. So give me little face, Gumby. Little face for the win. All right. Main event time. We were talking about funny nicknames before we went on air, and we're talking about funny nicknames on the air too. This is the main event of the prelims, 155 pounds, 3 5-minute rounds. Trey Ogden, USA, Kurt Hollabaugh, USA. Will Gumby pick another tough veteran? I think that's the only reason you picked Gibson, because he looked really good
on the show.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That was tough though. Anyhow, let's tell you about this tough veteran, Kurt Hollabaugh, who was on the Top Turtle MMA podcast last week. If you haven't heard yet, he's 20-7 with 1 no contest, 7 knockouts, 10 submissions, knocked out once, submitted once, 1-4 in the UFC over 3 stints. He's won 3 straight fights, all via finish. He's not lost since May of 2019. 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter and the champion of the most recent season. He got a no contest on the Contender Series. He won that fight, but he got busted for using an IV. Used to fight at lightweight, multi-region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamingpodcast.com/store. Madness is your code. 2011 Pro MMA debut for Hollabaugh. More active landing strikes. He's got a positive strike differential of 0.45 strikes per minute. He's at plus 125. Ogden, Samurai Ghost, 16-6 with 1 no contest, 11 submissions. He's been submitted 3 times. 1-2 with 1 no contest in the UFC. 1-2 with 1 no contest over his last 4 fights as well. Last fight was the no contest, was regional champion. He's fight at welterweight. 1-0 in Bellator, 2 inches reach, 3 years younger than Hollabaugh. Better striking stats. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.38 strikes per minute, minus 148. Give me the Samurai Ghost, Ogden. Obviously, both these guys are very good grapplers. Ogden is I don't know if he's a better striker. He's not a more powerful striker. That's for sure.
He's not. Not at all.
Gumby's going to pick Hollabaugh here.
I am. Yeah. Because of what you just teed me up to say there, which was right. he's not a better striker.
No, he's not. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think your analysis is perfect. I think they're both really good grapplers. And what tends to happen when both of them are really good wrestlers and neither is going to wind up on top is they're going to box. And if you've looked at Kurt Hollabaugh since he's come back to the UFC, since he's come back rejuvenated through the Ultimate Fighter, is it's high pressure, high output, solid as hell boxing. Like the beatdown he put on Jason Knight on the show made me be like, oh my, like this dude can absolutely bring it now. He's making the best use out of his last run in the UFC. Cause right. Like he's had a bunch of them, you know, you mentioned the fight he won on the Contender Series. That was the headliner to season 1, episode 1 of the Contender Series.
Oh yes.
Yeah. So like he was the first Contender Series guy, right? Like he's way back. He beat Matt Bassett. And Hollabaugh is like, he's a completely different guy since then. The high pressure, the high output, the believing in his hands. And I think he's got enough to stuff the takedowns of Trey Ogden and like force him to box. And like to your point that you already made, I think if he forces him to box, he's the much better boxer and he's got knockout power. So yeah, give me Hollabaugh here.
Yep, good points. But
he's not Ogden. A samurai ghost.
No, he's not a samurai ghost, and he hasn't beaten Daniel Zellhuber, which is impressive for Ogden. But there you go. Disagreed. And he beat Nicholas Mota, but he didn't really. That was one of those stupid no contests. He won the fight. That was dumb. Oh, no.
Here's sort of my my only rebuttal for that, because I'd love to get the last word, and I'm not going to let you leave without letting me say it.
Of course not.
Which one of Daniel Zellhuber or Nicholas Mota are a good wrestler that can stuff his takedowns?
Yeah. No, it's true. There you go. Gumby's so smart, isn't he?
I wanted to get the last word.
He's lost less money than I have so far, so he is smart. All right, let's recap, ladies and gentlemen. I should have known he was going to go with both tough people. Hollabaugh, I have Ogden. Both have Hamos. I have John C. as Gibson. We both have Wynn. We both have Zelznyakova. I'm getting worse at it. We both have Lima. We both have Usman, surprisingly. But hey. Yeah, that's what strange things are happening on this fight card. All right, we're going to be back tomorrow. We don't get a break this week, Gumby. Well, I guess we get a break on Friday and Saturday.
No rest for the wicked.
No rest for it, but you people love it. We're in the Discord always. You're much quicker than I am in there. Apparently, there's been a lot of stickiness going on in there.
So much stickiness.
Because you ban these people before I even know what's going on. I get in there and like people are posting sticky memes.
I've got a sticky trigger figure.
You do. So it's all the same people. It's the same guy with the sticky stuff, or?
No, it's not everybody's trying to get sticky, but some people are. it's people trying to sell their picks to people who don't need to get their picks sold to them. So
all our picks are free. That's our motto at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. So get in the Discord, Twitter, everything's free there. Well, I guess everything isn't free. SGPN MMA, Gumby runs that for us. He also is at Gumby Real, and I'm a Jeff Fox writer there. And on Instagram's a lot less sticky than Twitter is, that's for sure. What else? You can get into my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. I will have a full breakdown of all these fights. I will have DraftKings picks for this fight card. I got the specialized rankings that I do. Fighter payouts, all that stuff is there. Don't look for a pick'em contest this week because I'm not running one for this crappy card. Mostly because the UFC is running 5 events this month and I only have prizes for 3 contests, so I got to be picky and choosy. I have a feeling next week's card's going to be a bit better, right? Atlantic City?
Slightly better.
So I will be doing it for that. I told you about Top Turtle MMA. Make sure you listen to that. I just finished listening to it now. Gumby, I'm going to see if I can remember the trader he had on there, Lupi Godinez, who's our country helped save her from the violence in her country, and she's betrayed us and she's gone back to Mexico, but that's okay. I still like Lupi. So Gumby interviewed Lupi. Gumby interviewed, who's the gentleman you interviewed at the end? He's fighting next week. Good interview. Nice guy. I can't remember who it was.
Angel Pacheco.
Yes. Angel Pacheco. That was a good interview as well. So listen to that, Top Turtle. What else? Our website, of course, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Madness is your code. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. And of course, YouTube. Thank you for watching. If you're watching and you're not subscribed, then what good are you? Make sure you hit the subscribe button as well. We'll be back tomorrow with the exciting conclusion of UFC Fight Night. Hibas versus Nama Yunus. It will be me, the renegade Jeff Fox, and Juicy D, Gumby Vreeland, will be with me as well. We'll talk to you then. Bye.